Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Please be seated. This morning, the court has three matters on its oral submission docket. In the order of their presentation, they are Texas Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company versus Jeff Sturrock from Jasper County and the 9th Appellate District, Universal Health Services Incorporated and others versus Renaissance Women's Group Professional Association from Travis County and the 3rd Appellate District, and N. Ray Ernst & Young, petition for writ of mandamus. In each of these matters, the court has allotted 20 minutes for petitioner or relator to make its argument and for the respondent to respond. The petitioner or relator may reserve a portion of this time for rebuttal by advising the marshal of the court. We are recording each of these arguments, and you may purchase a tape of the argument for a nominal fee. We will take a brief recess in between each argument and complete the arguments before lunch. Justice Snyder is not here today, but he will participate in the deliberation and decision of these cases. Court is ready to hear argument from petitioners in Texas Farm Bureau versus Sturrock.
May it please the court, Mr. Todd Uto will present argument for the petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. The question before the court in this case is whether the Beaumont Court of Appeals erred by determining that Mr. Sturrock was involved in a motor vehicle accident. The term motor vehicle accident is the trigger that would give Mr. Sturrock coverage under the personal injury protection, or PIP, coverage of his Texas auto policy. The Court of Appeals erred by determining that question based on this court's decision in the Lindsay case. Now, the Lindsay case turned on a different insuring agreement. Lindsay turned on an insuring agreement involving uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage. That is not the coverage that is applicable to Mr. Sturrock's claim. It is significant also because the uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage.
So your point would be that if Mr. Sturrock had slipped out of the car and landed on a bystander and injured them, there'd be coverage. But if he slips out of the car and the only person he injures is himself, there is no coverage.
There would not be a motor vehicle accident for an injury that he sustains with himself. If he sustains an injury with contact with another person, object, or vehicle, then that would be a motor vehicle accident.
Under personal injury protection.
Under the PIP coverage.
But if it's third-party coverage, there would be coverage.
Sure, there would be liability coverage if he committed some or caused some injury to someone else. But to follow up on that question, actually, the coverages, the insuring agreements, are different. And I believe the Court of Appeals was confused by this court's analysis in Lindsay, which went into the question of use. And now, under uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage, use was this the use of a vehicle. That's a significant analysis. And that's what the court, frankly, as I read it, that's what the court seemed to be struggling with in the Lindsay case. But this requirement of use is not present in PIP coverage. The PIP you'll find under B2 of the standard Texas auto policy requires two things. It requires a motor vehicle accident and it requires a claim by a covered person. Now, motor vehicle accident is restricted. Motor vehicle would modify accident compared, say, to the Lindsay case, which dealt merely with an accident.
Well, now, in Lindsay, we talked about even assuming an auto accident. I mean, you don't think there's a difference definitionally between motor vehicle accident and auto accident?
No, absolutely. In fact, our briefs, and no one has questioned this from the time this was in Jasper County State Court to today, our briefs absolutely assume that auto accident and motor vehicle accident are synonymous.
Well, then in Lindsay, didn't we cover this? Because we said assuming that auto accident is more restrictive than accident, there's still coverage here.
The court absolutely, in the majority opinion in Lindsay, assumed, for the sake of the comments they made, which we believe were dicta in Lindsay, that accident and auto accident, they basically indulged the carrier's argument, even though the very sentence that the court is referring to also makes very clear that even if we assume that language is there that isn't there.
Okay, we would have to overrule Lindsay if we determined that was not dicta, right?
If the court determines that it's not dicta.
And so conversely, we would have to determine that that was dicta to be able to rule your way.
Yes, and the reason we believe it to be dicta is that Lindsay didn't turn on a PIP claim. It turned on an uninsured, underinsured motorist claim. And regardless of the sentence in Lindsay that the court is referring to, there's no doubt that the coverages are different. The insurance agreements are different. And auto accident, which is a phrase you see, for example, in the liability portion, and motor vehicle accident, which is the phrase you see in the PIP portion, are the same as each other, but different from accident.
Well,
which
what
is
about State Board of Insurance Bulletin B00401, which says auto policies and endorsements referring to an accident, the accident, motor vehicle accident, or auto accident mean the same as if the word occurrence were substituted for the word accident. And accidental means the same as unintentional.
That bulletin, which by the way was a part of the amicus that we got Monday from the BDI.
Well, that's why I got it. I haven't been crawling through portal.
That bulletin merely establishes that accident and occurrence are synonymous, which really isn't controversial here. It doesn't say that motor vehicle accident is the same as accident. It says that motor vehicle accident is the same as motor vehicle occurrence. Because that's all it says, a substitute occurrence with accident in that phrase.
Your brief says that we should give deference to an agency's construction. Does that extend to the lawyers for an agency charged with constructing?
I think that is correct. That was following what the first court held in the Lee case, which is actually very useful because it distinguishes coverage under UIM or UM and PIP. And what the first court said, and the reason we believe that's accurate, is for the 20-odd years after the Berry case was decided, and recall Berry is the one case that seems to suggest that the standard Texas PIP policy is void because it's different from the statute. The Lee case looked at that and said, well, in the 20-some years since that's occurred, the board, and now the Department of Insurance, didn't do anything to change that particular policy provision. And what the first court said was, in so doing, the board is obviously not adopting what the court in Berry, which is really an outlier, what the court in Berry said. Now, candidly, Judge, I don't believe this court gets to the issue of how the department may interpret the statute unless the court determines, unlike Griffin, if the court overrules Griffin, which says that auto accident is unambiguous, if the court overrules that, then perhaps the court gets to the analysis that was just mentioned. But I believe it would require the court to overrule the Griffin case, which is a case that we believe should have been followed below and should be followed here, because Griffin is the case dealing with auto accident. And again, auto accident and motor vehicle accident are indeed synonymous.
Well, it doesn't require collision, though. I mean, in Griffin, we said that it refers to a situation where one or more vehicles are involved with a person. Would this fit that definition, where the vehicle is involved with the person?
Well, what actually the requirement for Griffin is that one or more vehicles involved with another person, object, or vehicle. And that another is significant.
So that fits Justice Enoch's scenario then. If he had fallen out of the car and hit a person.
Then presumably that would have been a motor vehicle accident. But one cannot, under the PIP coverage, injure himself or herself merely because he happens to run into his own truck or stumble getting out or whatever, and then claim that that was what he bought coverage to protect against.
But what about the analogy, I think this raised in the briefing, if he had gotten his foot stuck and been dragged by the car, would that fit the definition?
Under the PIP coverage, would that be a motor vehicle accident? Was he involved with another object? Perhaps if he's injured by the ground, perhaps that would be sort of the attenuated analysis, if you will. There's no doubt, and this is to follow up on the court's first question, there's no doubt that near collisions can be motor vehicle accidents. Collision or near collision tends to be sort of the language that a lot of cases use. So collision is not per se a requirement for a motor vehicle accident, but the involvement of another person, object, or vehicle is.
Well, and the real problem that insurance policies are designed to cover if the car is somehow operating and somehow causes the injury. And if the car is standing still and not operating, just the policy just didn't contemplate that being injured around the car would somehow cause an injury.
That's right. And
but then you have this difficulty with Lindsay, where the car is not operating. But it was simply kind of the usual thing that happens. People usually get in cars. People usually get out of cars. And for there to be liability for an injury caused because someone is doing something normally with a car, which is getting into the car, then that kind of expanded this coverage problem.
I believe that Lindsay did expand the coverage problem in the context of uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage. But that's not what this court today has to do.
We just say there's a different analysis for personal injury protection because it doesn't involve third-party injury.
Because of the plain, unambiguous language of the provision, which this court has said in Griffin is unambiguous.
Are there other states that make that demarcation that you're making here between UIM and PIP?
No, there are other states which have analyzed the exact question of auto accident or motor vehicle accident and whether somebody getting in and out of his truck has been involved in a motor vehicle accident. We pointed out the closest we found actually is the state of Washington, which in the Terrell case follows the same argument that we make here, that isn't a motor vehicle accident when somebody gets injured. In that instance, actually, it was a camper, as I recall.
Where does Texas fit in Lindsay for the UIM coverage in terms of the majority of jurisdictions? Are we in the majority or minority?
Justice Jefferson, I have to concede, I have not analyzed that because this wasn't a UIM case. If the court wished, I'd be happy to address that with some post-arguments, post-submission brief.
I think that was already done in the Lindsay case. I think there's a 50-state search.
There's a very exhaustive footnote there that covers over a page.
You pointed out that Lindsay is different from this case and that this case is about PIP. Lindsay was about UIM and UM coverage. Lindsay focused on the word use, that language, although the specific paragraph I didn't see pointed out in the briefing is different from the specific language here. And yet you say to find on behalf of, or to rule on behalf of petitioners, we would have to overrule Lindsay?
I do not say that one would have to overrule Lindsay. The question, I believe, was if the court disagrees that the language in Lindsay is dicta, then you would have to deal with Lindsay in order to find otherwise in this case. But Lindsay, any plain reading of the two cases says Lindsay deals with different coverage than this. We believe the language in Lindsay, which says we're going to even assume the carrier's argument that accident really says auto accident. And the court recognizes that it doesn't, in Lindsay's opinion. Even assuming that, then the court goes on to comment some about the Griffin case. But I do not believe that's a holding in Lindsay because it wasn't essential to the determination the court made, which was one based on use.
So your definition of a motor vehicle accident doesn't include any collision or near collision requirement? I mean, in this court, in the Griffin case, cited this Peck case, which was an Amarillo case, which did include that. And we had exact quotation from the Peck case, but it left out some type of collision or near collision part of that quotation. What's your definition? Does it include that? What's the Peck definition, or is it as modified by the Griffin?
I believe what the definition is from Peck and then from Griffin, which followed it, is that it must involve another person, object, or vehicle. And in most cases, when they talk about involved, they say that's either a collision or a near collision. Because there can be facts where, goodness, a barrel comes rolling across the highway, and in order to avoid contact, one suffers an injury within his own or her own car or truck. So that near collision can be a motor vehicle accident because it involves.
Say you fall asleep while you're driving down the interstate, and you wake up and jerk the car back to the middle of the road, and the passenger hits his head on the window. That would be it.
I have a hard time understanding whether those facts would give rise to another vehicle, object, or person.
Well, it's going to hit something if he doesn't straighten out the car.
there's going to be a problem with that. The ultimate question I believe that the court will probably wrestle with itself is, whether the result that we're describing here makes sense. Whether it makes sense for this court to clarify that different coverages have different triggers.
Well, why should PIP be any different? I mean, isn't the purpose of PIP to compensate the injured person quickly without contest? That would seem to work against your definition. It seems like we should interpret PIP more broadly.
I believe PIP should be different, A, and not to disregard the court's question, but A, because this is what the plain meaning says, but also because PIP is really an aberration. It's a no-fault insurance in a state that is not a no-fault state.
But, and if that's the case, then why do we need another person involved? So under your argument, if we were dealing with PIP and Lindsay, then the boy, if he had been shot by the gun that was dislodged from the gun rack, he would not have coverage. Is that right? If no one else had been hurt but him,
Then
would be no...
If the claimant were to say that the gun or the gun rack was another object, I guess that would have to be the argument they make. And the point would be, I believe, under the PIP coverage, that with PIP, which again is an aberration state, the carrier didn't assume all risks that might be involved with a person injuring himself or herself, only those involved with a motor vehicle accident. It makes sense that a liability policy or a UIM policy should permit the insured to protect herself or himself against more risks. It makes sense that someone should be able to buy insurance to protect himself from risks of other person's negligence.
Well, why does that make sense if the purpose is to get money to the injured quickly?
To those injured in an automobile or a motor vehicle.
Court is ready to hear arguments for the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Sid Stover will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. At my age, I must believe that just because it's old does not make it wrong. And just because somebody says it over and over again does not make it right. 27 years ago, the Fort Worth Court rendered a decision in Berry versus Dareland County Mutual Insurance Company of Texas. And we seem to forget that in our argument about these cases. That case said that an insured exiting his vehicle who is injured doing so is entitled to PIP benefits. Now, there was no writ in that case, but that case has never been overturned, and the legislature has never seen fit to change that case in any way. Precedent, as we all know, as lawyers, is extremely important. It's important for a lawyer to be able to advise his client, and it's important for insurance companies to be able to set their premiums and to adjust their reserves to take care of the losses that they may sustain. This case is so identical to the facts of Berry that it's my opinion it was sought out as a test case to try to change the law. Lindsay did not expand anything. Lindsay expanded no coverage. The coverage was there under Berry. The reasoning in Berry is still sound. It has not been changed by the legislature. Premiums have been set on it. Reserves have been established. And what we're dealing with here is the construction of the Texas automobile insurance policy and whether in order to have coverage under these different portions of the standard policy, PIP, which talks about motor vehicle accident, uninsured motorist, underinsured, which refers to accident, liability, which refers to auto accident, whether there needs to be or need not be a collision, or as we started out, we were insisting upon a collision, and now it seems to have expanded today into a near collision in order to have coverage.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Kids gather. They park their cars in a circle, they turn on their lights, they have a big dance, and a bunch of kids gather sitting on top of the car. And one falls off the car and hits the ground. Would that ordinarily be contemplated to be an automobile coverage? I mean, it's the type of accident that can happen to kids just falling off a chair or falling out a swing or falling off a tree limb that they're sitting on. But because a car was what they were sitting on?
No, sir. I think that the cases are clear that it has to involve the automobile in some causative way in order to establish liability under the PIP portion of the policy. And, of course, that's exactly what the courts have decided time and time again. Peck decided, and that's a liability policy, they decided no coverage because the passenger was bitten by a dog in the car. I mean, that doesn't impose liability. The Schultz case, there was no coverage because there was the person was shot outside the car, even though he may have been touched by robbers. It was a fatal carjacking. There's been a consistent finding in Lee, which was a drive-by shooting that was not covered under the PIP portion of the policy. Griffin, again, I mean, it's a lawsuit involving the liability portion of the policy, but it's a suit against the insured driver by a person who is shot by someone inside the vehicle in a drive-by shooting. And Griffin simply held that there's no way you can turn a drive-by shooting into an automobile accident. And so I think that in order to make the coverage, and that's what we've argued in our brief, there must be a causal connection between the injury that is sustained and the injury in order to invoke accident, motor vehicle accident, any of these coverages. And it is important to the jurisprudence of our state and to well, from a lawyer's standpoint, trying to advise clients on where they stand, that the coverages remain consistent. I mean,
So you would say that if they're sitting on the car and fall off, that's not covered, but if they're opening the car door and slip, that is covered.
And getting in, yes, sir. It's been held many times that the getting in and getting out of a vehicle is an important use of the vehicle. You got to do it.
Why do you think Part B deals with medical payments coverage, and the PIP is in Part B2, and the word accident, it says caused by accident was used in medical payments coverage, but in the PIP it says motor vehicle accident. It seems to me accident is broader than motor vehicle accident.
Well, of course, PIP coverage is a lot broader than medical pay, too, because they can get their medical pay back. If I have any liability on someone else, they can come get their money back. They can't on PIP. It's a different type of coverage, and of course, form promulgated by the Texas Department of Insurance.
So you do agree there's a difference between accident and motor vehicle accident?
I think that they are synonymous. I do.
Why wouldn't accident cover a drive-by shooting? It's an accident from the passenger standpoint.
Well, now, from the point of view of the passenger, it's still not an accident. A drive-by shooting is an intentional act. There's no coverage anywhere under insurance for an intentional act.
But we recently held an opinion written by Justice Enoch that we look at it from the insured standpoint, that it was an accident even though the tort that was inflicted on him was intentional. He wasn't. It was an accident from his standpoint. So I'm trying to square all of our case law.
Well, I still think that if it involves the use of the vehicle in a causal way, that the liability ought to be imposed across the board in the same way. And that's what the Texas Department of Insurance has said in its amicus brief. We need to be consistent in our coverage.
Well, I'm a passenger in a vehicle, I'm using it. Or I'm a driver in a vehicle.
That's right.
And I'm using my vehicle, someone shoots me. Is that an accident? Or is that a vehicle accident? Or is it covered under any section of the policy?
I think that conceivably, if there was some causal connection between the use of the automobile and you being shot while you're in the automobile, perhaps.
Carjacking.
I'm having a hard time. Carjacking has been ruled no.
But I'm using the auto. I'm shot because they want to steal my auto.
Okay.
It's accidental from my standpoint.
I'll go along with you in the Schultz case where we have the fatal carjacking. The person was outside the car.
What if you're inside?
I don't know.
Stoplight.
I would think you might have a chance.
What
if you're using the vehicle?
What if you're working on your vehicle and you slam the hood down in your hand?
I think that would be a use of the vehicle. I think that would be a classic use of the vehicle. What about hooking a trailer onto the vehicle, and an injury is sustained there?
Well, that's excluded, isn't it? Because it specifically excludes another vehicle that you own if it bumps into your vehicle and you're injured.
True.
So why wouldn't it?
But not a trailer. Trailers are different.
I thought that was excluded as well.
But, you know, we have the same arguments about you can carry it 100 different ways. Justice Burgess and Beaumont said, well, what about if you have a faulty airbag that goes off? You know, can we say that that's not going to be covered under PIP? Well, certainly I would think that it would. The policy that we're talking about here is written at the direction of the legislature by and enforced by the Texas Department of Insurance. And I believe that the court in Mid-Century versus Lindsay has decided that an accident to afford coverage does not require a collision. And what we're talking about is a causal relationship. We have the Berry case, which was a motor vehicle accident, and there was coverage, tripping, getting out of a car. Peck was a liability policy in 1995, and that required an automobile accident. They said there was no coverage there, and it was a passenger bitten by a dog. You couldn't have liability for something like that. Schultz, PIP, is the fatal carjacking. Lee was a drive-by shooting. Griffin, we know, was a liability policy, involved a person outside the car getting shot by someone inside the car, and held the driver could not be liable, and the insurer could not be liable. And then in the Lindsay case, which we're all very familiar with, this court actually held that an automobile accident did not require a collision.
Do you think if we ruled in the petitioner's favor in this case, that would require overruling Lindsay to do that?
No, sir, not Lindsay. I think that the only dicta that's involved, perhaps, would be in Griffin. Griffin has some dicta that an automobile accident might require a collision. I think Lindsay would be four square in overruling the petitioner's point. I don't think there's any conflict between this case and Lindsay at all.
You indicated that you believed the law, the line of cases we have here in Texas, indicates that the motor vehicle must be in some way a cause of the injury.
Not a cause, causally involved.
Well, you said cause. Now you're saying causally involved.
Well, maybe I'm just old and playing on words, but I think that it would have to be involved in the use of the vehicle in order to be covered. Is that, maybe that's clearer what I'm talking about.
So there only needs to be some vehicular involvement.
Yes, sir. I don't think there needs to be a legal cause against the vehicle in order to impose liability.
Okay, and I am focusing on the specific words because as lawyers, you and I know that
I agree.
Cause and involvement are very different things.
You bet.
Legally.
You bet.
So would you say in this case that the motor vehicle caused your client's injury?
I think that the motor vehicle, yes.
How?
I really would.
How?
Because of the agreed statement of facts that he was getting out of the vehicle and his foot became entangled in the vehicle and he fell and caught himself and sustained an injury. But for the vehicle being there, he would not have been injured. But for getting out of the vehicle, he would not have been injured.
If your client were walking down some steps and his foot got hung on a step and he fell, there was no foreign substance or defect in the steps.
If I've got a policy of PIP insurance on those steps, I would say that they would be causally involved. They would be involved him going down. It would not have occurred but for the steps being there and him having to go up and down them. But I don't think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a motor vehicle that requires you to get in and out of it in order to operate it and to use it, and a policy of insurance that says we will pay medical benefits if you are injured while using that vehicle.
So the motor vehicle must cause the incident. Then your position's in trouble.
No, sir.
If the motor vehicle must be involved, then you believe you're successful in
yes,
this position.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to my cause question. I haven't asked the second question.
Okay.
If the requirement is cause, how do we come out with your client, in your opinion? If the requirement is causation, legal causation versus just involvement of the motor vehicle.
All right, you're going to impose an obligation that the motor vehicle have something wrong with it that is a causation of the injury?
No, I started my questions by picking up on a word you had used. You said the motor vehicle at one point must cause.
I'm sorry for that.
And you're sorry for that because if the requirement is cause, then your position is a difficult one.
I think, yes,
if
sir.
If it's just involvement, you believe you're fine.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just positing an assumption without deciding that.
I hear you.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, I understand. this case, and of course there are many analogies that we've talked about, airbag deployment, slipping into a ditch in icy weather, blown off the road in windstorms, tire blows out and the car rolls, the car catches fire, hitting a pothole, We had a situation where a barge ran into a bridge and a bunch of cars went in after it. Faulty exhaust system asphyxiates the driver. These things should be used and should be covered by the PIP insurance. In our case, fits perfectly into the system. It's an accident involving the insured vehicle like Barry and like Lindsay. The policy that we're talking about here does not say it requires a motor vehicle wreck or a motor vehicle collision or an auto wreck or an auto collision. It says a motor vehicle accident, an accident involving a motor vehicle. And the Griffin case is not opposed to the line of reasoning. It's a lawsuit that merely says on liability, you cannot make the driver liable for a drive-by shooting by a passenger of his. It just stands to reason. And the Sturrock injury was caused by and involved by the use of the insured vehicle, and we think that it ought to be covered here. The Attorney General's office has filed an amicus brief, very well done by Sarah Wells of that office. I would ask the court to consider that. It represents the position of the Texas Department of Insurance, and the Texas Department of Insurance has issued a bulletin back in February of 2001 due to complaints that they had received about the adjustment of PIP claims, and it explains that accident and motor vehicle accident are synonymous with the word occurrence, and the brief, the amicus brief of the Attorney General's office takes the position that the Sturrock case should be paid under the PIP portion of the policy.
The amicus brief on behalf of the National Association of Independent Insurers, also filed after the briefing in this case, says the Court of Appeals opinion will have a devastating impact, even if limited to PIP coverage.
I don't understand that.
The AG says that the insurers are cheating everybody out of their rightful benefits, so they're kind of
Understand about that is that amicus brief on behalf of the insurance industry says that it's going to have a devastating effect on premiums and on the industry. When they've been living with Barry for 27 years, nothing has changed. They're pecking away, trying to change Barry, but it hadn't changed a thing as far as what they're setting their premiums on or making their reserves on.
Respondent argues that nobody pays attention to Barry.
Boy, how many money? I've made a lot of money in the last 40 years using that case.
Barry.
And I sure would hate to lose it. Any further questions? If not, I'm through.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Is it possible that the concern of the independent insurers is not with the decision on PIP, whether or not getting in and out of a car is necessary to the operating of the car and therefore personal injury protection covers? Is it possible the insurance industry is concerned that if we say PIP is defined that way, by the inverse argument, uninsured motorist and third-party liability coverage under the policy is expanded beyond automobile accidents to include accidents that occur when somebody's just driving an automobile, such as the dog bite case or drive-by shootings? Is that really what's going on here? If we say PIP is, if PIP doesn't cover this getting out because it's a different focus of coverage than under the third-party liability coverage, by logical extension, that means third-party liability coverage is much broader than the insurers had thought it would be?
I don't believe that's the case, Justice. I believe that the concern is the concern on its face, that is, with broadening PIP coverage.
Well, do you agree, or how do you address the Attorney General's argument if this, your interpretation would lead to absurd results?
I don't.
I mean, if Mr. Sturrock's best friend was in the car with him and got out the other side and had the same accident, he would be covered because he's another person. But Sturrock would not. Now, that seems absurd.
I'm surprised to be saying this, but the TDI misunderstands their own policy. Once someone is a covered person, everyone is treated exactly the same. A passenger is presumably a covered person. Did the passenger have a motor vehicle accident? Were they involved with another object, person, or vehicle? So a passenger, a covered person, is exactly the same under PIP coverage as the driver.
But under your argument, the driver could not recover under PIP. but the passenger could.
Under our argument...
Where's the reasoning in that?
Under our argument, no covered person could recover if the accident was not a motor vehicle accident. There are no absurd results because every covered person is treated the same.
Now, I'm confused because I'm looking at your another person argument, and I thought you were saying because this occurrence or accident did not involve another person, it doesn't fit within the Lindsay language.
It doesn't fit within the Griffin language.
Griffin language.
Yes, we're definitely saying that. The absurd result that they're suggesting isn't in the policy, and it's not in our interpretation, our argument here. Every covered person, once you establish your cover, passenger, driver alike, every covered person has to establish that he or she was involved in a motor vehicle accident with another person, object, or vehicle.
Okay, so if the passenger were getting out and had the same accident, that passenger would be covered?
No. Just like Mr. Stewart was not covered. Each is a covered person, and each is treated identically.
What if the passenger were getting out of the truck and slipped and fell into the driver and injured the driver?
Well, I suppose if that were to happen, the question would be whether the passenger was another person.
And in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, under those facts, it would not be coverage, but that would be the argument they would have to make.
Why would there not be coverage?
Because under that hypothetical, the other person would actually be... Well, I suppose actually now that I think about it, Justice, I think that's an excellent question.
I'm just asking about the rule you laid down.
Sure. Another person could be another covered person, presuming that was a motor vehicle accident. I don't know whether getting out of a vehicle constitutes a motor vehicle accident or not. We certainly say that it does not here.
So you're saying if two children are fighting in the back seat and the brother hits his sister and injures her, that's an auto accident? And that's covered under PIP?
No, I don't believe that's a motor vehicle accident. I believe that the Justice Wainwright's question is a little different from that if they're getting out of a vehicle. But Justice Owen, if I could, I want to follow up on one question you asked, which I believe perfectly crystallizes what the dispute is here. Counsel conceded that for his position to prevail, the court has to assume that accident and motor vehicle accident are the same. That's inconsistent with typical rules of contract interpretation, which would require the court to give words their ordinary, plain, generally understood meaning.
I haven't hit the books on this, but I seem to remember when I was in law school 30 years ago that there was a line of cases that dealt with, for example, someone had jacked up their car to change the tire and it fell on them, or they were working on their car and they were somehow injured. Have you found any cases that deal with that?
If I may, no PIP cases do. And that would not be a motor vehicle accident. It might be an uninsured or liability.
It's the insured is working on their own car. And you haven't found any cases?
There are no cases in which apply a PIP coverage to those facts as described.
So give me the policy reason why we should read PIP more restrictively.
The policy reason is this, other than the plain contractual reason. The policy reason is this. One should not be able to insure against one's own negligence or one's own conduct in a no-fault circumstance. More broadly
but
than
I
one
thought
can.
PIP was intended for just that situation. That's what I'm struggling with.
Right, limited to motor vehicle accidents, it is. But accidents involving the ownership, maintenance, or use of the vehicle are more broad. That's where liability or uninsured motorist comes in. Those should be more broad. You should be able to protect yourself by buying insurance from someone else's negligence. But the limited purpose of PIP, which is no fault, is limited to those motor vehicle accidents, regardless of fault.
The language in your policy says the injury must result from a motor vehicle accident. Does that mean, in your opinion, causally involved or involved? The motor vehicle must be involved or something else?
I don't believe that result from is particularly determinative here so much as the motor vehicle accident term. Because resulting from an accident, certainly there has to be some causal connection. It can't just be that you were in a car and you somehow injured yourself in some unrelated way.
So the car must be more than just involved, in your opinion?
Well, it must be a motor vehicle accident. It could be a collision or near collision. It must be involved in the sense of involved with another person on good board.
Thank you, counsel. That completes the argument in the first cause. The court will take a brief recess.